Good morning. We'll be in Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 38, and we'll go through chapter 6 and verse 1 of this portion of the Sermon on the Mount. People, to some degree, I guess you could make an argument either way, are predictable in their unpredictableness, if you think about it that way. This week, I was doing some research on a football matter and somehow made it to Mark Twain quotes, the rabbit hole and the internet and all that stuff. But Mark Twain supposedly said that loyalty to country always and loyalty to government when they deserve it. And I like that quote. And certainly that way, when I think about the predictableness of man in its unpredictableness, much is to do with sports right now. It's kind of in that area where coaching basketball's going on, football's coming to an end, and you have all these people predicting and making decisions and deciding, well, this happens most of the time. And if we go with that, then, and certainly data is important, but it's also that ball is shaped weird and it does weird things and people do weird things. And so that's just kind of been running around in my mind. And God certainly created us in a way that we have a higher thinking or level of thinking than the animals, at least. And depending on what day it is, we have higher ability than others. After a long weekend or a long break or all week long, I've been thinking we were a day ahead of where we were. And so that means this week I'll think we're a day behind. And I can't afford to lose those days, right? I can't afford to lose those. There's a lot of things that I'm supposed to get done in all of that. And so I say all that to say, as Jesus makes this statement in the Sermon on the Mount, he knows that he's making a statement that it will be difficult to live up to. And I think to some degree, that's the point. Like, he wants them to make the statement at some of the things that he says, if not all the things he says, to say, this is impossible. We can't do that, so that he can answer, well, yes, no, you can't do that except through me. It is impossible with man, but nothing is impossible to God. But he's also opening up and removing man-made barriers and hoops and obstacles that have been created. We were talking this morning in Bible class about how you can take the law, and they did, and add extra stuff to it, and some people did that in good conscience. They thought, well, you know, this is something we can do to kind of help people understand it a little bit better. And I was explaining to my students this week that every illustration that a preacher stands up and uses has holes in it, right? Anytime we go to God is like, right, there are holes in the argument. You could easily just stand up here and go, God's not like that. And you could point out all these ways in which God is not like that. And so to some degree, when you get up and preach and teach or use an illustration, you're kind of self-defeating yourself. And so we come to the understanding. You came here today knowing full well that Travis is not going to be able to answer all of your questions from the Bible. And really, that's the appealing thing. There is something to be learned every time we go to the text. And we are constantly in that process of sanctification. We've received justification. If you are in Christ and you are struggling with life, then you have justification, and that justification now allows you to continue in the journey to be sanctified. And all that means is we're being molded in the image of Jesus. And so when we come to the text, that should be our ultimate goal. How can I look more like Jesus after reading this than I did before? And a lot of times I think we come to the text and go, well, how can I make myself look more right than this other person? Much of my upbringing and teaching of Scripture was to defeat the arguments of everyone else. And certainly there are benefits, but I think if that's our only reason for coming to Scripture, then we will miss a lot of its purpose and a lot of its meaning. I say all that to say, beginning in verse 38, as we talked about last week, much of the verses leading into this is about our commitment to God. If you go to Romans chapter 12, as far as it depends on you, be at peace with everyone. Once again, sometimes we come to the text to understand what everyone else should be doing. And I don't necessarily want to preach that way. I want to come to the text and go, okay, what should I be doing in an effort to have peace with everyone? Now, at some point when we live for Jesus, there are going to be people who just will not have peace with us, no matter how much we try. They crucified the Son of God, right? Who loved all and treated everyone with respect and dignity. And maybe that's why they crucified him, right? And so we have to understand that we're also accepting the issues, the problems, the persecution, the opportunity to be martyred. And so what does Jesus pick up with after talking about trusting in God and being committed to Him? What that commitment looks like when things get tough, when circumstances are out of your control, what does it look like to trust God? In verse 38, you have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, let him have your coat also. Whoever forces you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks of you, and do not turn away from him who wants to borrow from you. We'll go ahead and continue and read all of the text today. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? If you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Therefore, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Now, in my Bible, there's a pause. There may be a headline and a chapter break in your Bible. And those are great tools, but that's all they are. So don't try not to break the thought and go, oh, this is a different thought, because as he's speaking, he probably just rolls right into the next thought. Beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. And so we go into this, what does my commitment to Jesus, what does my commitment to God look like on an everyday basis in my behavior with other human beings and my behavior with, yes, even the Gentiles, yes, even the Romans, and certainly these religious elect people who've set themselves up in that role. What does that look like? And we get a very counter idea to what the Jews had as far as a Messiah. They slap me in the mouth and I'm supposed to let them slap me more? Like, this is not the Messiah we were looking for, right? We wanted this David guy who's going to come in and show the Romans what's up and rule the world. And we all know that when I get slapped, if I want to rule the world by its thought process, then I have to what? Hit them. You slap them? No, I'm not going to slap them, right? That's not going to do the trick. I'm going to up my response, right? As a historical guy, my degree's in history, that's a military approach. If you want someone to leave you alone, you don't respond equally. You respond with a heavier hand, and then they leave you alone. That's just the way of the world. That's how strategy works. Deterrence is the word that many people use, and Victor Davis Hanson, right? Deterrence over and over again. We carry a big stick. We don't want to use it, but we have the capability of doing so, right? There are a lot of people in the world, a lot of countries in the world, who like to poke fun at the United States of America, but they all know they need us to be strong because we carry the big stick, right? Oh, those gun-toting Americans. Ha, ha, ha. Look at them. But when push comes to shove, they get really nervous when we're not carrying the big stick anymore. So I'm not even looking at that and going, that's ridiculous. We shouldn't have any of that. What I'm saying is Jesus is presenting a very, very, even to us in 2024, a very different view of how we respond to people who treat us poorly. And it is the Jesus way. I'm not even sitting here saying that it's wrong to have deterrents. As a country, I believe you have to have them. You just have to, if you want to exist very long. But this is a very different thinking. And he appeals to the old law. What is Jesus saying? Don't trust your own courts to get it right. You trust God to get it right. That judge in that stand is a human being, and they're going to get it wrong. So much of what I see in our country is really sad because we have these judges who think that they can take all the exterior details and well, we feel sorry for this person. Yes, they murdered four people, but they were born in poverty and they just didn't know any better. And so we're just going to let them go free. I'm not jealous of their spot. I don't want that. But is that justice? Is that true? Like, he's saying, trust the Father who sees all and has true vengeance and justice. You see what I'm saying? See what Jesus is saying? Like, you show up every day, you get up every day, and you trust in God to get it done. That there's a day that's going to come where God will set all things right. And what should we be grateful for? That we've been given an opportunity that he can set things right in our life right this minute. Take full advantage of that. How can Paul, sitting in a jail cell in Philippians that we read this morning, and go, rejoice! Be anxious for nothing, but pray. Trust who? God. And so when somebody punches you, or they take advantage of you, understand that's service in the kingdom. He's given us a heads up. I love a heads up. I love a warning. Like, this is how this is going to go, right? My son played junior pro yesterday, got in. First thing happened, gets the ball, somebody takes it away from him. He's heartbroken. Heartbroken. I said, well, son, that's how you play the game. I was heartbroken because I didn't let him know that. Hey, there's going to be people out there trying to take this ball from you, right? Jesus, there's going to be people out there that's going to take your lunch money from you. You know that. You've lived under the Roman rule. In fact, you've lived under every rule that's ever been. You know that. He's not telling them anything that you're going to get hit and it's going to hurt. What he's saying is your response is to trust God. It all boils down to that. Have you noticed? Like, people are going to mistreat you. There are going to be circumstances that just stink. I had a buddy call me this week. It seems like everybody that's around me is under attack right now. And I'm like, am I the problem? Like, do I need to be figuring something out? And he'd been strong. He just breaks down on the phone. I don't know what he was waiting for me. I don't know if I was supposed to give him some great wisdom. But I just said, hey, man, that just sucks. That stinks. And that's what I got for you, man. Other than I'm going to pray right now with you. It stinks. And sometimes we just need people to say that. Hey, that stinks. You deserve to be emotional. You deserve to be upset. Right? You. Whether you deserve it or not, you feel it. And the worst thing you can do is bury it. And God wants us to trust him enough to be emotional with him. I don't want you to respond in kind, but I'm here to hear your frustration. Has he not? Right? We see in Scripture where God goes, I heard you, right? In Exodus, I've heard the cry of my people, and now it's time for vengeance and justice, and they're going to be released from captivity. And so bring that to him. Trust him. Do not respond in kind. If anyone wants to sue you and take your coat, let him have your coat. Also, take your shirt and let him have your coat. Whoever forces you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Remember, like, John the Baptist was much more like call people by name. And Jesus is like, I'm going to let you figure this out because you know. He doesn't have to say the name, right? The Romans forced him to go a mile. You got to carry my stuff. This is Roman law. And what a mind-blowing thought when that Jew responds and goes, I'd like to go another mile, if you'd let me. That's weird. That's unconventional. That's countercultural. What's weird? How can this Jew be even weirder? Carry my stuff another mile. He doesn't have to. So what is Jesus really talking about? How do we impact people? We trust God that he's got this. I don't know if this Roman soldier has killed any Jews. I don't know if he's beaten any of my friends. I don't know what he's done in his past life. But while I'm interacting with him, I trust God. And I know what I can do in a practical way that might point this guy to the true kingdom of God. It's different. It's different the way that I think. It's different than my own response today. And I've grown up in a Judeo-Christian society. Somebody hits me, I want to give it right back to them. That's a great thing about playing football. I got to hit people legally. Step behind between the lines, I get to hit people and I don't go to jail. It was awesome. It's great. Right, that was me. I was all boy. I wanted to do those things. And so even growing up, taught to be kind and don't hit people and keep your hands to yourself and all that, there's still that part of me, right? That person cuts me off. Hey, man, wouldn't it be awesome if I had enough money? I just hit them in the rear end. It wouldn't ruin my car. If it did, I could just buy another one. Wouldn't that be awesome, right? Oh, I'm the only one, huh? That's what y'all are looking at me like. Okay, all right. No more revealing what I'm thinking to you folks. Give to him who asks of you, and do not turn away from him who wants to borrow from you. You've heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends the rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Now, as you were reading that, which category did you fall into? Because there are sometimes we read things and we tell on ourselves, right? Not in that evil category, certainly, right? I'm above that, you know. I'm in the righteous category. That's the one I fall under. Check up. You know, if you looked at that list, Travis Creasy would be at the top, right? And depending on what day it is, we read that differently. What is he saying? God gives everyone opportunity to be grateful. Do we look at the rain and grateful? Well, it depends on if I want it to rain today or not, right? Depends on my circumstance. We talked about it in Sunday school this morning. It's always a choice to be grateful. It's a choice. Every one of us knows somebody out there who seems to live, we don't know what they're dealing with, seems to live a cherry life, and they're the most ungrateful person in the world. What do we spend all the holidays with our kids trying to teach them? Be grateful. When you open something, you go find that person, you tell them thank you, and then tell them one thing that you like about the thing you got. Regardless of what it is, be grateful. And my kids, some of the spoiledest kids on the planet, right? I mean, like, to some of y'all, they'll always be the poor little foster kids, right? And to my family, God bless them, like, they're not anymore, okay? Like, stop. You're killing us, right? You're killing us, right? But it's grateful. We want them to choose to be grateful. If you see a religious person specifically, and I'm not talking about, hey, I'm happy and I'm annoyingly positive all the time, even when life is terrible. Once again, I said sometimes we just have to wallow, right? We have to just admit that this is not fun and it's not okay. Not saying that, but generally speaking, if you see someone who's a Christian and they're angry or upset or mad all the time, something is not connecting. There is a disconnect somewhere. They're either not been taught correctly or something. And if you're a sourpuss on your face all the time, nobody wants what you're selling. I'm just going to be honest with you. Nobody wants that. People have enough misery on their own. And so Jesus is teaching them how to be grateful regardless of circumstance. God has blessed you today because you have a today. And that should be enough for us to choose to be grateful for what he's done. This is before Jesus dying on the cross, right? Raising the third day, sitting at the right hand of God. And if he tells them, you can be grateful. Man, what is he saying to us? Talking about spoiled rotten. This guy right here. To choose to be grateful. Do not even the tax collectors do the same? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Therefore, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. How can I be perfect? Well, that's the beauty of saying this when I'm saying it. We are perfected in Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. But what does it look like to them and to us? What's something that carries over? Well, verse 1. Beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. Talked about our face, right? You know what's awesome is those people that you know, if they were carrying all their scars on their face, they wouldn't even have any space for anything else. And yet instead, they carry joy on their face. You know those people? Like, even I, and Mr. Negative some days, Mr. Positive some days, and I look at those people and I go, they got no reason in the world to be as happy as they are. And people know that, and then they proclaim happiness and joy through Jesus. You know what that does? It makes people go, I want what they're having. What do they got? Right? Now, I want people to look at Riverside Christian Academy and go, what do they got down there? Because I'd like to get a little bit of that. Maybe I'm not even old enough to be, I'm too old to be a student, but man, I'd like to hang around with those people. Right? What about Riverside Church of Christ? Man, I don't know. They're a little weird. They listen to that guy, and he's a pretty messed up dude every Sunday. They choose to go hear that guy, and they're happy anyways. They got joy. I'd like to at least go see what they're having. And maybe, just maybe, it's something I might could have too. And for that to happen, especially in the first century, especially under the thumb of the Romans, especially under the thumb of the Sadducees and Sadducees, Jesus understands there has to be something countercultural there. And it's not a revolution. And if I could use this word, it is an evolution. It's a constant changing. Many of you look at me when you were my age and you're like, man, I was completely off base. Well, guess what? I'm probably right there with you. But that's the connection. I'm going to help that young guy where I didn't have help. I'm not going to judge that person because of where they're at. I'm going to come alongside them and I'm going to suffer with them well. I'm going to show them how to suffer well, how to deal with the loss of a loved one, how to deal with a disease, how to deal with and fill in the blank. And the beauty of this body here is that we have been served in such a way. Can you imagine at the group size of the people we've had? There are churches out there, and I'm not trying to be judgmental, I'm not calling by names, who have attendance that triples what we have here. And because we trust in God to get it done, there are people here who lapse around those churches. It's wild. I really think if most of our families came to church here, they'd be stunned, right, at what gets done here. And it's not because we're all special and we're amazing and we're just so awesome, which I love all y'all. But it's what Jesus is getting at. We trust in God to give us what we need when we need it. And there are stories to be told of praying for something and boom, there it is. 40 days of prayer this year. What was on our list? Lord, bring us a good leader. Bring us somebody who's got some energy. Bring us somebody who's going to take us to the next level. Right? And sometimes getting took to the next level doesn't feel real great. And there are changes. And there are things we go, well, we've always done it this way. Right? You know what Jesus says? What he's responding to? You have heard it said. What's that really saying? We've always done it this way. And Jesus is like, well, there's a new way. That's not really new. It's been around a long time, forever, in fact. But the way I'm going to do things and the way, if you truly follow me, the way you're going to do things is going to be radically different. Because you've done this. We've done the way of the world over and over and over, and there are just a few winners. But if you'll lose yourself, then you will find yourself. And so the question to us is have you bought into that? Have you? Right? Have you bought into that? Well, I'm going to have to tell you, right? It's a daily buy-in. 12 years old, I was baptized into Jesus, and His blood is even more powerful to me today than it was then. But every day you have to buy in. Every day you got to get up and go, I'm bought into this Jesus. And Lord, I lay my life at Your feet, and I want to see what You see and how You see it. And I want to respond how You would respond. And once again, it hurts sometimes. Because there are times where, Lord, can I do this one my way? Please? Like, this is what's comfortable for me. You know, God is the God of comfort, right? Like, He provides comfort for us when we trust Him. But man, will He straight up wreck your comfort zone. He's like a wrecking ball to that thing. When I was 18 years old, I preached my first sermon. I sat down. My youth minister got up and go, oh, we just appreciate Travis for doing that. And I just broke down and cried in front of everybody. I'm talking an 18-year-old teen, like in high school, boo-hooing. And I said right there at that desk, I'll never do that again. I will never do that again. Never, ever, ever will I do that again. Mistake, right? Don't tell God that you're not going to do something. Let me just take some of that advice. So have you bought in today? You're like, well, Travis, I'm here. I could be anywhere else. And man, am I thankful that you've made that choice, because that is an example to every one of us. And especially in your midst of circumstances that may not be all that great, you chose to be here. What a tremendous step. But if you're not in Jesus today, that step could be even more valuable, right? He just adds so much extra to every good thing, good choice we make. He just makes it that much better. And so we would love nothing more than you to get the full benefit of buying into Jesus. And it can be simply a step. If you're in Jesus, you're right where you're at. If you can commit yourself, you don't need to come tell me. Right? You sing this next song with all your heart. You commit right where you're at, and you can recommit yourself. And I try to do that every Sunday by taking the Lord's Supper, singing these songs with you. I want to recommit myself. I'm more bought in today than I was yesterday. You can do that right where you're at. But if there's something we can do that would help encourage you, we want to give you an opportunity as we stand and sing in just a moment to encourage you to think about your life, to kind of review this week and go, okay, maybe here I wasn't what I should have been. Maybe here I really made a good decision there, and it was trusting Jesus. That's always the best decision. Then we can help you maybe not make that same mistake. I don't know what that looks like for you, but God does. And He understands what you need when you need it. And so if maybe the song, maybe you don't want to come forward, we're going to pass the microphone around. And that's an opportunity, too, for you to share whatever's on your heart and mind and give us the tremendous blessing and opportunity to pray for that in your life. If you'd like for us to lay our hands on you, our shepherds love to do that. We as a body love to do that. We really want to do whatever you're comfortable with to let you know we are here for you. And that we're the hands and feet of Jesus in this world. But most of all, God loves you, we love you, and we look forward to an opportunity to serve you as we stand and sing.